Okay, so it's me. It's Maria. I'm back. I actually have been committed to this journey, this parenting view journey, and I really am excited about continuing to chat about all things parenting related. Sorry if I sound a bit stuffed up. I do still have a cold, and I'm actually sitting in my lounge right now, so if there's any background noises or weird sounds, it's not my fault. Okay, so today I actually wanted to chat to you guys about two things. The first is the format of the parenting view. So what I'm going to do is I am going to record once a week and publish once a week. So 1 week I will have a show with guests, and another week it'll just be me, like today. And so every week will be something different. And if you've got any requests or anybody you'd like to me to chat to, or a specific topic that you'd like me to talk about, just flick me an email, maria@happymumhappychild.com, and we can talk about it, or you can just stalk me on the internet. Okay, so, and then the second thing I wanted to talk to you about today is the reason that I'm doing the show today is about my journey with postnatal depression. Now, I felt like this is probably one I should just do by myself because, you know, I would like to interview other people about their journeys rather than have a three-way conversation or a two-way conversation where you could get information mixed up about who's talking. So I'm going to chat about my experience. Before I launch into after I had children, I will preface it with a little story about my background. I did have a lot of anxiety prior to becoming a parent. I didn't really realize it until I changed jobs, and the change was so far out of my comfort zone that I basically had a mental breakdown and I couldn't function. I cried a lot and I had horrible thoughts about ending my life, and I knew something wasn't right. So this was my most embarrassing job experience and also the quickest job I've ever been in. I think I was there for 2 days before I resigned. I had a mental breakdown after 2 days. I actually had a mental breakdown after the first day, but that's okay. And I actually stopped work after that. I went on anxiety medication and I stopped work for about 3 to 6 months just to really focus on myself. My husband was amazing during that time. We weren't married then, but we lived together, we owned a house together, and he earned enough money, thankfully, so I was able to stay home for a bit to figure out what I was doing, get my craziness under control. And I eventually did get under control my anxiety and I stopped taking the medication. But coming into pregnancy, I knew that I had this experience. Now, something else I also have experience with, but not personally, is postnatal psychosis. A very close family member has experienced this, had it, diagnosed with it, went through it. And so when I got pregnant, I said to my husband, look, full disclosure, all of it, we're all a bit nuts in this family, okay, mate? So I don't know what will happen. I've never experienced depression like that, so I don't know. And then pregnancy was fine-ish. I struggled just like everybody struggles. Morning sickness sucked. Lack of sleep sucked. I had back issues. I don't know. Everybody freaking has their own experience with pregnancy. And by the end, even though I was terrified about giving birth, by the end I was ready. And then this baby popped out of my vagina and I looked at her and I was like, who the bloody hell is this? And I didn't know who she was. I didn't recognize her. I was very confused. I was expecting this moment of utter joy and love, and I didn't get it. And it took me, I reckon, 2 to 3 weeks to finally realize that I was a parent and that I am responsible for this child and that this child is mine. And yes, I do love this child. But it freaked me out, and I started spiraling without realizing it. My husband, when my daughter was 8 weeks old, so I was still a brand new parent, my husband went away for 3 weeks overseas to India, and it was one of the hardest times of my life, parenting by myself. My mum and dad at the time lived in Australia. They'd moved over there to do some work. And my mum came home for 1 week to help me. But the damage was done. It was, yeah. And, you know, like I said, my parents were living overseas. When you have, when you have a baby, you kind of want your mum. And I didn't have my mum. And it was, I really, really struggled. Like just thinking about it now is making me a bit sad because I really missed my mum and I really needed her and I used to cry. I mean, I don't think she knows this, but if she's listening to this, hey mum, she will now know that I cried a lot for my mum. But you know, you're a 30-year-old woman, you don't want to, mummy, I need you, you know, but I did, I needed my mum and I struggled a lot and parenting didn't come easy to me. I didn't know what I was doing. I thought a lot about the future and I got hardly any sleep. Breastfeeding was so hard for me. I mean, these are all topics that I want to cover, but I'm just glossing over them at the moment because this is all about depression. I, again, had no idea what I was doing. My husband seemed very chilled out. I did have issues with some family members and I won't go into that too much, but it didn't help things. And I had a spilly child. My baby was spilly, a happy spiller. But, you know, I felt like I couldn't go out anywhere because my child would have to be changed every 5 seconds. And I was embarrassed that she threw up everywhere, basically, all the time. I had my breastfeeding experience was so rough, like I said. And then after 3 months of breastfeeding, I switched to formula feeding and I just crucified myself for that. And it was not an easy journey by any means. I look back on it. I don't forget any of it. It is forever ingrained in my mind. I struggled so much to get Chloe to sleep during the day. I used to look at her and think, I wonder if I could just leave her and go for a walk because I just need some to get some space away and to clear my head from this because I felt trapped, utterly trapped. So this is all happening before I realized something was wrong. Now, the thing that my triggers presented themselves in a form that's not usual. When you think about depression, you think about being sad and crying a lot. My symptoms were anger and absolutely uncontrollable anger. I would picture it like a ball of energy in my stomach rising up and just exploding from my face. I couldn't see outside of it. I was blinded by it. And my poor husband, you know, I pray to God that my child does not remember this. You know how sometimes people say, oh, kids don't remember, especially babies, but somewhere in my mind I'm like, yeah, they do. Oh, it's my cat coming in. Yeah, they do remember. So I pray to God she doesn't. But I was very angry a lot. I used to yell and scream. Not at Chloe, but I used to, like, when I couldn't get her to sleep, I would put her back down and she'd be screaming. I'd shut the door and I'd go out, find a pillow, and I'd just scream into this pillow because I was so angry I didn't know what to do with myself. I punched a fridge. I punched our fridge. It's still got a dent in it. I remember just something that Phil said to me one day triggered me and I just left the house and I drove away. I was so angry. I can't even remember what I was angry about, but I was so angry. And I need to go to therapy for this. After I was diagnosed, I did go into do a bit of counseling, but I believe that I need some deep therapy sessions because there's stuff there, you know, there's a reason I was angry. And the final straw, the reason that I went and sought help was I tried to put Chloe down for sleep. She just wouldn't sleep. You know, it's probably me. You know how babies feed off of their parents' energy? Well, yeah, she didn't really have any good energy to feed off. Let's just say that. I put her in a bedroom. She was screaming. She was 6 months old. I came out. I lay on the ground and I just cried for 10 minutes. And it was at that point I realized something is not right here. And Phil came home and I said, Phil, I need to I think I need to go and talk to a doctor about this. This is not right. So I went in and booked an appointment with our family doctor, who's this lovely male doctor. So he's not a female. And I went in and I cried. Suddenly you've verbalized that something's not right in your life, and I can't. I'm an emotional mess half the time. So I burst into tears, and he gave me a question. He asked me all these questions and basically said, yes, it sounds like you've been struggling for a while. And more tears from me, because he was acknowledging that I'm not just imagining this, and it's not just the baby blues, or it's not just something is wrong with me, which it was, but So he pretty much started me on antidepressants straight away. It was a choice that I jumped at. I have no qualms about saying I needed medication to help me get through depression. I needed something to help me get back on track. Me working my way through it just was not an option for me. Once I was had my feet firmly on the ground, my mind felt like it was back, sure, I'll tackle that then. I'm never going to tell people that they need to do medication, because I think everybody knows what they can and can't do and what they want to do, and I would never push that. But I wanted meds, and I was like, just give it to me. And I felt like from the moment I took it, even though I know that's not how it works, but from the moment I took that first antidepressant, I felt better. I felt a sense of relief. I felt like finally I'd not only recognized that I had an issue, but I was taking steps to get to fix it. I also just want to add that before I was diagnosed, I didn't really tell Phil how I was feeling. I mean, I would try to, but I couldn't adequately express the emotions into words. I would often find blog posts that kind of touched on how I was feeling, and I would send them to him in the hopes that he would read them and understand. But ultimately, I spent a lot of time in my own head not talking about how I felt, because I felt like if I spoke to him, he wouldn't believe me, and he wouldn't understand, and it was too much effort for me to get him to understand. You know, when you just need someone there who just totally and utterly gets it and is accepting. Well, I'm sure Phil would have done that if he'd had the knowledge, but I just did not have the confidence to tell him how I felt. So when I was diagnosed with having postnatal depression, it was a relief for me on that level too, that suddenly I could say to him, hey, I wasn't just imagining this stuff. I wasn't just overreacting, even though I probably was, but it was something in my brain has gone a bit loop de loop. The wires have been mismatched, and they're crossed, and it's not my fault. But suddenly there was a reason for it. So this is why it's really important that we talk. We feel like we can at least talk to one person, because we often end up in our own heads. So anyway, going on medication was definitely the best thing I could have ever done. I started regaining myself back. And a lot of people say that just be careful, medication might change you. Medication just took me back to who I was. I stopped being so angry. I was able to see and think clearly all of a sudden. Parenting was still friggin' difficult. Everything was the same, but I was just able to be one step removed from that anger, and I needed that so badly. I s still, when I got pregnant when Chloe was 13 months old. I was pregnant with Ronan, and I made a decision with my doctor. We did a lot of research into it to stay on medication. Obviously, there was a small chance that the medication might filter through to the baby. But that was a risk I was willing to take, because if I came off my meds, it would not have been good for me or my family. And it wasn't worth that. It was not worth it. And when I had Ronan, I freaked out a little bit, because I was really worried that he would have some kind of drug dependency, and he didn't. But I did freak out a bit. And then after he was born, my depression doubled down a bit, and I had to up my medication. And I have been on that dosage. I'm taking citalopram. I don't think it's called postnatal depression anymore, because my kids are old. But they're 4 and 6 now. But I still I still struggle, but I am in a better place now, and I think I'm almost ready to start lowering my dosage because my kids are in care. My son is at kindergarten. He started last year when he was three. My daughter is at school. I have time to myself now. My life is not the same as it was. It is. I think back up to that time when I was undiagnosed and in the trenches just fighting. I could not see the light at the end of the tunnel. I just felt like I was going to have a baby my entire life. And people say, that time of your life goes so quickly. And nope, I look back on it and I think, no way, Jose, did that time in my life go quickly. It has gone so slowly. Even to get to the point where my son is four, I feel like it's taken 20 years. It's very hard to explain, but I will never think I will never look back on that time and say that's, you know, went so fast. In the scheme of things, in terms of, you know, their baby stage versus their adult stage, yeah, of course that's fast, but it was just so difficult. And I started talking about my experience with postnatal depression through my Happy Mum, Happy Child Facebook page, and I always find it fascinating listening to other people's journeys and what they do. And my biggest piece of advice to people, because I get a lot of people saying, thank you for talking about your experience. You know, you've given me courage. But actually, you should pat yourselves on the back because taking that first step is so hard. I think a lot of us out there, we know there's something not right. We know that we're not ourselves. And acknowledging that and reaching out to your doctor can be a very, very difficult first step, even just chatting to your partner about it. I mean, Phil talks to me all the time. When I ask him how he felt, he said he just felt absolutely helpless. He just wanted to do whatever he could to help me. And I have to give him a major shout out. He won't listen to this because he might. Hey, Phil, just in case you are actually listening. When I was diagnosed with postnatal depression, he absolutely stepped up. I mean, he would start taking Chloe out for really long walks. He would start doing the grocery shopping with her. He would just give me time to myself because I just felt so utterly trapped with her. And the other thing that happened that I need to acknowledge is that my parents, when I got diagnosed, my parents came back from Australia, and I feel like when I got diagnosed, it was like a trifecta of medication. I had actual medication, I had my husband's medication, he was helping me out, and my parents. And suddenly I felt like my life was getting back on track. You know what I mean? So yeah, my husband and my parents just blew me away, and my in-laws were amazing too. We all, you know, we all got to a point where we were on each other's team. And that's what you need. You need support. So if you're feeling alone, if you're feeling like you can't talk to anybody, you can reach out and talk to me. Shit, I'm always here all the time. But I think it's really important that you talk to your partner and you talk to your doctor. I get a lot of people telling me, I talked to my doctor and they didn't believe me, or they just said it was the baby blues and that I should just get over it. That is completely and utterly unacceptable. And you as a parent and a human being should push back on that, especially if you know that something's not right. Seek a second opinion. Because shit, it's hard enough having a life to live without bloody someone coming along and saying, you're actually fine, when you know you're not. So keep going. Don't feel pressured to take medication. Don't feel pressured to not take medication. Like, don't listen to people if they say to you, meds will just stuff your mind up. It might not stuff your mind up. You don't know. So research, research, research. Listen to what other people have to say. Listen to your gut instincts. Trust yourself and talk to people. Don't hide. Don't keep quiet. The more we talk about postnatal depression, the more we share our experiences, the more we will connect with people. And just by me talking today, I know that people will say, I experienced the anger. I understand that. And that's what it's about, is about sharing our journeys, even just to reach out to one person and for them to say, hey, that sounds like me. I think I might go and chat to someone about that. Because talking about it is so important. So important. And if anybody ever makes you feel like you shouldn't talk about it, then you need to reevaluate them in your life, because depression is not a joke. It is not something that you can just wake up one morning and get over. It is a chemical imbalance in your brain. And sometimes, just sometimes, you need extra, extra help for it. I'd love to have a conversation with the close family member about the postnatal psychosis experience that she had, because postnatal psychosis is the extreme version of depression when you basically lose your mind. You actually can go crazy. And I have not done enough research into it to be confident about having a conversation right now. And I actually think it's probably beneficial if you hear from someone who has experienced it. So I'd definitely like to touch on that. So that is 20 minutes out of your day now, whatever you've been doing. I hope that you've enjoyed this show and this podcast. And I hope that this has been helpful. If you ever need to reach out, you can email me, maria@happymumhappychild.com. You can reach me on Facebook. I'm there on the Happy Mum, Happy Child Facebook page. Actually, you probably can't message me there, but you can message me on the Parenting View one. I'm also on Snapchat. All my links are here on SoundCloud. Thank you very, very much for listening. And I hope you guys have a great day or night or whatever it is. I'll chat to you later. Bye. Whoops, I forgot to tell you guys. If you guys are listening to this on iTunes, I would love it if you could give it a rating. 5 stars was obviously preferable. Just when you interact and rate and like and do all that sort of thing on iTunes, it just helps everything within the podcast community. Even on SoundCloud, if you give it a like, that'd be fantastic. Thanks, guys. Truly appreciate it. See you in the next show.